first thing. Now, the second thing I want to leave with you concerning the power of thought, number seven, is this. There is nothing wrong with you. Yeah. And I really tried to emphasize that last week. There is nothing wrong with you. And I want you to get that. There's nothing wrong with you. Although you may not be accepted by someone or some group, there is nothing wrong with you. When I was in school, I wasn't the coolest kind of guy. I was kind of like in the middle. I was semi-nerdy, but I was trying to be cool. Say amen to that, y'all. Kind of semi-nerdy, kind of cool-y. Is that a good combination? I don't know. So I wasn't accepted by the cool guys, and I wasn't accepted by the nerd guys. I was kind of in the middle. And I've learned, and really it took me some time to realize that there was nothing wrong with me, and there was nothing wrong with you. Amen. So in school or at work, if you're not one of the popular people, you may tend to feel that you're not up to par. That isn't true. There isn't anything wrong with you. If people compare you to others, and they always do, and say you're not like so-and-so, that doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you. You're just different. And sometimes it's good to be different. Amen. Jesus was different. Amen. You are just different. You aren't inherently flawed or disabled. You aren't the black sheep of the family. You haven't worked beyond God's grace capacity to bless you. You are a child of God, and there's nothing wrong with you. Amen. So please stop thinking that you are flawed or you're substandard because people don't treat you right. Or because you haven't gotten the right breaks. Is there anybody in here waiting for some good breaks? Some breakthroughs? Come on, somebody. Anybody else? Amen. So because those breakthroughs or breakouts or whatever you're looking for break that you want to break, because they haven't happened, that it doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you. Amen. There is nothing wrong with you. I want you to get that. Amen. You recall Ruth in the Bible? Ruth was in a dire situation. She lost her husband, all her means of support. She had no income. She was a widow and didn't have even the bare essentials to live on. And things weren't going well for her. She could have thought that there was something wrong with her. Sometimes when bad things happen to people, we think that something is wrong with us. Are you hear what I'm saying? So Ruth could have thought something was wrong with her. But rather, she chose to do her best. She chose to do the right thing by taking care of her mother-in-law, and the Lord eventually blessed her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. And just like the Lord eventually came through for her, guess what? He's going to eventually come through for you. Give me three amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. He's going to eventually come through for you. There is nothing wrong with her, and there's nothing wrong with you. Now, please hear this. God had blessings prepared for Ruth at the right place at the right time. And Ruth walked into those blessings. And I believe with all my heart that God has ordained seasons and good times that you're going to walk into what he has for you. Give God an amen on that too. Amen. And number three, because God loves you unconditionally, you no longer need to worry about your relationship with him. You no longer need to worry about your relationship with him. That's a big one. You no longer need to worry about your relationship with him. Amen. Now, the devil's intentions are to cause you to doubt that you have the right relationship with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wants you to believe that your relationship with God isn't right. When you do something wrong, the devil will try to make you believe that God has a problem with you. But that isn't true. You hear what I'm saying? Now, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, which is your inner man, your relationship with God was made perfect. Amen. We are perfected through Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, your relationship with God was made perfect. So it doesn't matter what you do. Amen. Now, what does this mean? This means that when God looks at you, he doesn't frown, but he smiles. God isn't mad at you and he isn't withholding anything from you. It means that God's favor surrounds you as with a shield. It means that your situation will shift and good things will eventually manifest in your life if you believe it. Amen. Amen. So those three things. Amen. Now let's start the power thought number 8. Amen. You ready for this one? Amen. Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. This is power thought number 8. Power thought number 8. We're going to work this thing. Say, Pastor, work it. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, 6. Amen. And we're going to go, we're going to read 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're going to read 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay? Amen. You catch up to me. Amen. So 1 Timothy 6, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Amen. So verse 3 says, if anyone teaches otherwise, and you have your Bibles, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly wisdom, verse 4, they are conceited and understand nothing. I'm still in verse 4. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, verse 5, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, this is the NIV, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Now, verse 6, I want you to pay attention to verse 6, because verse 6 is a key verse. You can put that one on the screen. Look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. And NIV says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So our power thought, our 8th power thought for this morning is this. I am content and emotionally stable. I am content. Write that down. We're going to work it. I am content and emotionally stable. I am content and emotionally stable. Say that. I am content and emotionally stable. Amen. This is the 8th one. One of the greatest things God has done in my life personally is to help me become emotionally stable and consistently content. Now, don't get me wrong. I've never been an emotional basket case. Yeah. But there was a time when I allowed things to really bother me internally, and it caused me lots and lots and lots of grief. And now that things don't bother me as deeply, I've now learned to enjoy life. Somebody say amen to that. And there's nothing more tormenting than being controlled emotionally by outside forces and being discontent. In all honesty, because of the way God made women, they tend to struggle more with emotions than does men. And really, too many people allow their circumstances to control their mood. And that's what happens when we are controlled by our emotions. We're allowing things on the outside to affect our insides. You've seen people before with a disposition that goes haywire. If something isn't quite right, rather than bracing themselves and trusting God, really emotional people allow their situation to completely get them down, and they're really difficult to be around. Can I tell the truth today? You can tell when someone is controlled by their emotions. You can tell it. My God, you can tell it. And for this reason, I want to teach you the value of remaining calm and letting God do what God's going to do anyway. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. 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 And really, Our attitudes, listen up, our attitudes should not be controlled by outside sources. You shouldn't, nothing should happen that literally changes who you are. Is anybody listening to me? Amen. We're affected by circumstances, which is normal, but we shouldn't be controlled by them. Amen. We should never allow our life to be ruined by what someone says or what someone does. Can I preach right today? Amen. Now, even though it is challenging, we can learn to have authority over the way we react to things. Now, you can't really control what comes, but you can control how you react to it. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Amen. So we don't have to let our circumstances control our mood unless we choose to. I'm going to work on this thing. Now, Psalm 28:1. I'm gonna tell like it is this morning. Psalm 28:1. This is the NLT. This is a Psalm of David. It says, "I pray to you, O Lord, my what? My rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you are silent, I might as well give up and die." Amen. Amen. That's another three. Amen. 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 Now, the Bible actually refers to Jesus as the rock, which means that we can depend on him, that he is solid, that he is stable all the time. He's always faithful. He's always loyal. He's always true to his word. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, he is not in one kind of mood one day and then another mood the next day, like some of us are. Don't look around. You know what I'm talking about. My Lord Jesus, help me preach today. He doesn't love us one day and withhold his grace the next day. We can count on him to be the same today as he was yesterday and tomorrow as he is today. Give God praise for that. Now, what is the point? What is the point? What is the point? In terms of being content and emotionally stable, God wants us to be the same way. He wants us to be content and emotionally stable. Amen. Now, I wanted to define both these words to you so we can get an understanding. To be stable means that you are solid. You are a solid person. It means that you are dependable. It means that you are reliable. It means that you're emotionally strong and established. It means that you are consistently faithful. People don't. I was watching football. I probably watched three or four games yesterday. And when I went to bed, Clemson was playing Louisville. Who won? Clemson, right? When I went to bed, it was like 26-14 or something. It was crazy. And anyway, Clemson showed up to the game to play. Amen. And they got a good quarterback, too. And when you are a stable person, people don't have to wonder if you're gonna show up on game day, so to speak. You show up because that's what you're supposed to do. Amen. You don't allow your feelings. Woo. You don't allow your feelings to dictate what you are going to do. Amen. Now, on the other hand, to be content means to be satisfied. It means to be at ease. It means to be appreciative of what you have. It means to be thankful for what God has done for you and not to covet another person's blessings. You don't constantly look at what another person has and loathe what you have. Amen. You're content and thankful for what God has given you. I believe that the Bible says in everything give what? Yeah, in everything give thanks. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not believing God for more, but you're appreciative for where you are right now. You know what? There are a million people that would want to be where you are right now. Amen. Well, yeah. Well, my house is small. Thank God you're in a house. Amen. 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 So to be content means, essentially means that you are not bitter, but your life disposition is cheerful and happy most of the time. Amen. Now, none of us really like to have moments when our days when our emotions go crazy and we sit in self-pity with negative thoughts. I've been and done that before. We don't enjoy ourselves when we are in that condition. And quite frankly, nobody else enjoys you either. When you're complaining all the time, when everything is wrong, you are difficult to be around. Somebody say amen to that. Being in a relationship with anyone who is really emotional, discontent, not dependable, and moody is an extremely difficult thing. If you're around somebody like that, have mercy on them, oh Lord. Amen. Now please hear this. Write this down. Becoming emotionally stable and consistent are the ingredients of a powerful life. Becoming emotionally stable and consistent are the ingredients of a powerful life. God, get that. God, let them get that. Let them get that. Becoming emotionally stable and consistent are the ingredients of a powerful life. So this is something that you want to do. This is something that you should long to be. A part of being spiritually mature requires that you be emotionally stable and that your behavior is relatively consistent. Think about this. If I was a pastor and I might show up on Sunday morning. You'd be looking for somebody else, wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. God can't trust you when you don't have a handle on your emotions. Jesus. Amen. He can't do it. He can't trust you. Now, Pastor, how do we achieve this? The pathway for an emotional positive change is to renew your mind by the Word of God. That's how it happens first. To renew your mind by the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's going to be on the board. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2. Are you with me? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. You are transformed into a new person, not by one sermon on a Sunday. You are changed by when you get into the Word of God and the Word of God changes how you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. So our minds have to be renewed by the Word of God. You and I have to begin believing that we can be content and emotional and emotionally stable before it actually happens. So you have to believe that you can get there, that you have to believe that you can become emotionally stable and content before it happens. God's word states that we call things that be not as if they already exist, right? Amen. Romans 4, 17. So when we do this, we are cooperating with God, with what God's word says about us versus what the world says about us. The world says that we're always going to be unstable and discontent. God's word tells us that we can get a handle on our emotions and learn to be content so we can enjoy life. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be 100 years old and didn't enjoy 90 years of it. That's a miserable person. Amen. So this is where God has me. He's given me words for you. He's given me revelation for you to help you, his children, to learn, here it is, to enjoy your life. All these power thoughts that from 1 to 8, God has given them to me for you so that you can learn to enjoy your life the more. Give God a praise for that. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Amen. Amen. So God has given you the tools you need in order to help you and I to enjoy our lives together. Amen. Now I have a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, here's a question now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your own emotional stability and contentment? On a scale of 1 to 10, think about that. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your own emotional stability and contentment? Think about you. Don't think about nobody else. Not your husband, not your wife, not your mama, not your dad, you. How would you rate your own emotional stability and contentment? Do you still lose it when it comes to your emotions? Can somebody say something and just knock you completely out of the world? Do you still cover what a person has and don't appreciate what you have? I want you to think about this. How do you rate your emotional stability? How do you rate your emotional stability and your contentment? Amen. Think about it. Can God trust you? Are you emotionally stable enough for God to trust you? Yeah. Now, please understand that God gave us emotions. How many of us realize that? God gave us emotions. Emotions aren't going anywhere. They're here to stay. I believe our emotions help us to love God and show sympathy towards other people. We all have emotions, and we all have emotions, and we'll always have emotions. They are a part of being human. If you're not a human being, if you don't have any emotions. And since that is true, I believe emotional stability should be one of the main things, goals that we should have. You should want to become emotionally stable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That should be one of your main goals. Because emotions are not going away, you should want to say, Lord, you need to help me to become emotionally stable. So we can actually learn to manage our emotions without our emotions managing us. Amen. That's the key right there. Amen. Are you still praying with me? Now, the devil's plan is to keep you miserable and ruin your life as you follow your emotions. He wants you to follow your emotions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil wants you to follow your emotions. He wants you to be emotional. He wants you to follow your emotions. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Turn to Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. Let me show you something. How many of you are still with me? Say, Pastor, I'm still with you. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what is this verse saying to us? This verse is saying, God never meant for you to be led by your emotions. We are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you are led by God's Spirit, you are literally being led by God himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And on the contrary, when you're led by your emotions, it isn't God that's leading you. Can I tell it like it is? Amen. It isn't God that's leading you. You're being led by the flesh, which is often controlled or prompted by the devil. Amen. Can I tell the truth, y'all? Are you ready for it? Amen. 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 So let's talk about the person who's controlled by their emotions for a moment. An emotional person, and we all know some, an emotional person is someone who is easily stirred up. Easily stirred up. They're easily manipulated. Often their thoughts aren't well thought out. They react to something that they haven't really thought about. Often their thoughts aren't well thought out. They make spontaneous decisions that aren't well thought out. Amen. An emotional person is led by how they feel or led by their circumstances. How many of you know I'm preaching right today? Amen. And I can't tell you how many times somebody told me what the Lord said and it wasn't the Lord. Right. Right. A pastor, the Lord told me this. I said, well, he ain't tell me that. And may I just throw this caveat out? Don't listen to somebody that tells you what the Lord said to you. It said to them for you. He can talk to you too. Amen. Amen. The Lord told me to tell you. Well, let me check with him first. Amen. I can't tell you how many times a person claimed God spoke to them and it was actually their emotions speaking to them. Write this down. You cannot be spiritual and also be led by your emotions. You cannot be spiritual and be led and also be led by your emotions. God. Gosh. Ah. Now, I began to ponder about this, Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I'll say that, but give me some more. And the question should be, how do you distinguish God from your emotions? Right? Yeah. Whenever you study the Word of God, you should always ask questions. Okay, Lord, your Word says, but as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the Son of God. So I'm supposed to be led by the Spirit. So how do I distinguish whether I'm leading myself or you lead me? God. Now, two things he said. Number one is this. What you're doing must be consistent with the Word of God. God ain't going to tell you to cuss your neighbor out. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. You don't know mine. So what you do, first of all, has to be consistent with the Word of God. And secondly, this is the one that has really given me a lot of internal thought. Number two is that you have to have peace on the inside. You got to have peace. You got to have peace. And you can't make peace. You got to have it. Okay, so, I'm at the house, and Cricket ain't in here, so I can talk about it. I'm at the house, so I asked her to do something that she hadn't done, and I want her to do it now. Okay. I get up enough guts. Say, Cricket, I thought I told you to do what I said an hour ago. And she looks at me and scares me. And then use some expletives in a holy way to tell me what I'm not. I'm not. You ain't my daddy. Nor my mama. I'll do it when I want to do it. Somebody say amen to that. And really, I was in the corner in my office and saying, okay, Lord, should I tell her now? And I never really got peace on the thing. But I made my own peace and told her. And it was the wrong thing to do, brothers. Amen. So what you do has to be consistent with the Word of God. And you have to have peace on the inside. Now watch this now. If you don't have peace on the inside, wait. Oh, God is good. If you don't have peace on the inside, keep your mouth. Because when you throw the words out there, you can't take them. Amen. Amen. So if it's consistent with the Word of God, that's one thing. And ask yourself whether you do or don't have peace. If you don't have peace, it might not be God. Amen. Now, when God requires something from you, I want to just pull you in here. When God requires something from you, a spiritual person says, I'm going to do it regardless. I'm going to do it if it's inconvenient for me to do it. If I have to jeopardize some things that I normally do, I'm going to do it anyway. An emotional person says, I'll do it if I feel like doing it. God Almighty. Man, I got and this is my introduction. This is the key. This is the key. And I'm going to just stop here because we're almost out of time. Emotions won't go away, but you can learn to manage them. You can learn to control them. You can train them so they won't get in the way of your service to God. That makes sense, anybody?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to close with this, but I got to say this. Although you'll always have emotions, you can't always rely on them. Yeah. And I'm going to stop there because time is up. Amen. Give God a praise if you got something, okay? I'm not out of word. I'm out of time. I can't tell you as a pastor how crazy my emotions have been. They have a roller coaster at Six Flags. I don't know what, but again, they have a few of them. Brace you in and you go up and come down. Take loops, go around, here and there, in and out. That's how my emotions have been. And I finally reached a place. Jesus. I finally reached a place in life where I'm just good. You can like me or not. I'm not like any other pastor in the world, but I'm like Greg McClendon. I've learned that's enough for me. Now, because I'm emotionally much more stable than I have been, I've learned to enjoy life. God. Did anybody receive anything today? Amen. We're going to finish up on this next week. And I tell you, I can't tell you how much these power thoughts have been good to me. They literally changed my mind. Changed my life. I'm just good with some things that I used to not be good with. My prayer is that you've adopted these things for life. These are not items that you can just hear on a Sunday and forget about on Monday. These are things that you need to take with you throughout your life so that you can learn to enjoy life. Amen. Amen. Can we bless God today? Come on. It's time to go tell my wife that we're about done because she wants to come in here. If you're in here, and you undoubtedly know that your emotions are out of control. You let people get under your skin until you start getting hives on your skin. You're looking crazy. If that's really you, I believe God is talking to you. And we'll have another, I feel the Spirit, wow. We'll have another altar call next week, but if God is speaking to you about your emotions, and you're brave enough to come to the altar for prayer, I invite you to come. Anybody in here today? Paul has a history of of a resume. Of his qualifications for sharing the gospel. If I were to put him on a scale with the disciples would be a 10, and Paul would be probably a 15. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He said, I became all things to all people. Think about Paul's life. Had he been controlled by his emotions, shipwrecked, flogged, beaten, left for dead. Think about how much kingdom work he would have done if he allowed his feelings to get in the way of him. I believe that God is trying to mature you. We've been declaring the word of God, that God has opened doors from the north, south, east, and west. And they are open. But I believe before you can walk through that door, that God has to trust you. And he has to trust you in ministry when people aren't good to you, when people don't support you, when people are not with you, when they lie to you. When they tell you, I'll be with you, and they abandon you, but you still stand and still do what God wants you to do, even when the crowd gets low, and because you trust God so much. You still do what you believe he wants you to do. Sometimes you're not sure. But you're doing what you believe he wants you to do. And that's the person that God can trust. That operate in the desert, shoveling sheep dung with a king's anointing. Jesus. We'll finish next week on this, but I want to pray for you. Because you've come up here because I believe God is speaking to you on the inside. There's something that you know that you need to tighten up on. To be more useful, not for me, not for your husband or your wife, but to be useful to him. And that's what my prayer is going to be. Before you can become emotionally mature, all things that be not as though they were. I am emotionally stable and I am content. Even when you feel like a basket case on the inside, I am emotionally stable and I am content. Lord, think through my mind. Lord, take me out of self. You know what you put in me. Nobody in the world knows what you put in me but you, Lord. So take me out of myself. So I can be more useful to you, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to pray for you. Lord, bless these precious people that have come today. I feel your anointing, Lord, is flowing through this house. Even as I speak, I feel your spirit, oh God. Bless these precious people right where they are, Lord. You know their internal struggles, oh God. You know their challenge. You know their proclivities, Father God. You even know their motives, Lord. You know that they have pure motives, Lord. And you know how sometimes things, people get to them and how that affects them. Lord, thank you for emotions that we use appropriately. But I pray, Lord, that your spirit would rise and their emotions would sink in the appropriate place. Your word says, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Lord, like the potter on the wheel, shape them, mold them, oh God. Take out the imperfections, oh God, and all the impurities, oh God, so that they may be used for your glory. I pray blessings upon them, Lord, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Thank you, God, for the gifts. Put in them, Father God. Rise up, Lord, in them. Rise up, King. Rise up, Jehovah. Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Those who are in the front, just find somebody's neck to hug. Those that's in the front, hug somebody's neck. Come on, baby. I'm going to open the doors to the church. Last week, someone told me that they felt it was their time to become a part of this church. And that's Michelle and her babies. Amen. Amen. Here come Grandma. There are some women in this church. Amen. There are some women, some spiritual women in this church that will help you grow. They will. They will help you be that virtuous woman. And I can't tell you how much it blesses us to see you here today. Amen. Amen. And I kind of saw Sheila grow up, you know, and go out, you know, and do some things. And she's always been a very well-spoken person, very ladylike. Say amen, brothers. I don't like girly men, and I don't like rough women. Some brothers say, well, Greg, I like rough women. Huh? Well, that's your thing. I want a woman to be a woman. Greg said, yeah. And the marriage bed is undefiled. So when you're in that room, that's your business. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Okay, I'll stop. This ain't marriage enrichment. Lord Jesus. Oh, the doors. This is my baby right here. The doors are open to the church. They're always open. And we don't do it. We're in a traditional place, but we have contemporary ideas. And, so we don't open the door the way old church used to. We don't put up chairs, and we don't take a vote. It's not Robert's rules. What's that? Robert's rules of order, whatever that is. We don't do that stuff. We just say, when you feel led of God, this is your place. This is your Bethel where you're going to meet God.
Amen.
Then you come. We say, welcome. Amen. Amen. So we receive you as a daughter of this house. We receive these angels as God's children. Somebody say amen to that. And before we leave, I want us to show Sheila some love and just tell her that we're going to be there for her. Amen. So let us all stand and show some love, and then we'll dismiss. Can we do that? Amen. 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 Give us some love, y'all. Keep on showing us some love. Now I want to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Love y'all.